Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is God's word. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are his." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You then, my son, he starts out this letter by referring to Timothy in chapter 1 as his dear son, and he's continuing that because that's the relationship they have. Paul has been like a father to Timothy. You then, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Where does our strength come from? It's not from physical exertion. The strength that we have is grounded in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. Grace which is by definition completely undeserved. We're not strong because we've accomplished a lot. We're strong because God has had mercy on us and given us that which we don't deserve instead of what we do deserve. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. The goal of the church is multiplication for the glory of God. We want to reach others, and the way that we're to reach others is not just through addition, it's through multiplication. It is by equipping other people with the truth that has changed our lives so that they will be in a position to equip other people who will then be in a position to equip other people. And that's why Jesus, who started out with a small group of followers, now has people all around the world. Because people share the gospel with people who learn how to share the gospel with people so that they are able to share the gospel with people. Does that make sense? Okay, where are you in that chain? Are you still learning what the gospel is? Well, praise the Lord. We want you to know that. Do you say, well, no, I've trusted the Lord. I know the gospel. Could you explain it to someone else? Well, yeah, I believe I could. Well, then do. Do. Share what God has given you. So entrust these things to reliable men who will be also qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You're to endure hardship. I thought, you know, Jesus paid it all. He did. He paid it all so that you could be part of the family. And being in the family means that you're on mission for him. And that's going to involve enduring hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, no, one of the ways you endure that is you don't have divided interest. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs because he wants to please his commanding officer. His goal is not, well, I've got this side hustle that I'm doing over here. No, when you're in the military, you've got to focus. And you need to do what it takes to please your commanding officer. If you want to be successful, that's how you move up in the military. Your commanding officer says, that was well done, great job. Well, it's hard to do a great job if you're not focused on the job. So, if we're going to follow Jesus and serve him, we need to be focused on the mission that he's given us. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. You and I are not going to be successful in serving the Lord by cheating. We need to compete according to the rules. We need to do what God's called us to do. We need to walk in obedience. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Paul says, what is the gospel all about? It's all about Jesus. He's the focus that we are to focus on, and he's the one that we're to focus on as we're seeking to share the good news with others. The good news is about Jesus. And what's the first thing about Jesus that Paul zeroes in on? the fact that he's alive. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. What does that mean? That means he is the king. He's the promised Messiah. This is the one that we were all waiting on. This is my gospel. It's all about Jesus. This is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. We said that as Paul writes this, he literally is in a dungeon in chains in Rome. It's a miserable situation. And he says, the reason I'm here is because they're trying to stop, the enemy is trying to stop the spread of the gospel. But listen to the next phrase. But God's word is not chained. Paul says, I'm in chains, but God's word is still going forth. God's word is still being spread. All these years later, you and I, almost 2,000 years later, are reading what Paul wrote from that dungeon. God's word is not chained. God's kingdom will overcome all the other kingdoms. Everything else collapses. The word of God remains forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of the Lord remains forever.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. All right? Every now and then we mention the fact that the Bible teaches the doctrine of election. What is this saying? He says, I'm enduring these things for the sake of the elect because they've been saved. Okay? Is that what he says? No. He says, I'm enduring everything for the sake of the elect that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, I want the elect to be saved. I'm doing this so that the elect will be saved. So they're not saved yet? Well, then how does he know that they're the elect? He doesn't know which ones are the elect, but God does. And he's going to say that later in the chapter. He is enduring all of this for the sake of those whom God has chosen, whom God has elected, whom God has predestined, so that they might obtain that for which God has chosen. Huh. That they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. When I read that, it says if we disown him, he'll disown us. That sounds like a person could lose their salvation. No, it sounds like some people who profess faith are not genuinely saved. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, "I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you." He doesn't say, "I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you lost your salvation." He says, "I never knew you." The problem was not losing their salvation. The problem was they weren't saved. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, we don't believe the truth, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God's truth, God's promises, God's character do not depend upon our faith. Well, wouldn't it be better for God if we all believed? Actually, it'd be better for us. Okay? God's doing fine. He spoke the universe into being. He really doesn't need our assistance. Let's all hold hands and believe real hard, and then God will get strong. God is infinitely powerful, and he doesn't need us. But he chose to love us. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So, he says to Timothy, keep reminding them of these things and warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of very little value and unhelpful to some people. No, I didn't read that correctly. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. That's a pretty significant difference. Pastor, what are you quarreling about words? No, I'm pointing out what the words in God's word are. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. He's going to come back to this theme repeatedly in the verses that follow. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. He's writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and he's saying, man, what you do with this is going to be the key to the impact you have on lives. You need, Timothy, to handle the word of God correctly. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. If you don't know what gangrene is, it's where a part of the body dies and becomes rotten, and that rot spreads. And the cure for gangrene is you remove the dead part. But let me just tell you something. You don't want gangrene. And that's what false teaching amounts to. It'll spread, and it brings death. So avoid godless chatter. Those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. And among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who've wandered away from the truth. They wandered away. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Did you hear that? The Lord knows. I can't always look and tell, but God knows. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Don't tell me you're the Lord's person when you're living a life of rebellion against God. The Lord knows those who are his. He knows them before we can spot them. He knows who the elect are. In Acts chapter 18, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you and no one's going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. What was God saying? He said, I have many people in this city. There were a whole bunch of people who hadn't even gotten saved yet, but God knew who they were. God knew who they were. That's why Paul says, I labor for the sake of the elect, that they might obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. So I just really am not comfortable with that doctrine. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm not comfortable with, but that's not how you tell whether or not something's true. The way you tell whether something's true is, what does God say? Go to the scriptures. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Paul says you can have an impact on what kind of service you'll be to the Lord by getting rid of stuff that doesn't belong in your life. If I were to tell you, you've got 5 minutes to clean up your room for inspection, would you be able to make it better, or would you say, there's just too much stuff here. I can't do anything to make it better. No, given five, if you had half an hour, could you do a better job? Well, yeah, I mean, sure, if I had half an hour, I could do a better job. Well, I don't know how much time you have, but I do know that if there's stuff in your life that doesn't belong, you ought to go ahead and get rid of it now. Is that clear? Well, are you saying I can't go to heaven? I'm saying, do you want to be used by the Lord? Do you want God to use you for his glory? If you cleanse yourself from these things, you'll be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, that means completely dedicated to him, and useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. In light of what he did for us, doesn't it make sense to want to be totally yielded to him and used by him for his glory? Then he says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There are some things we should run from. Well, I thought we were supposed to be brave and strong. We are. But if a tidal wave is coming, you don't want to stand there and say, okay, run. Run, okay? Let me tell you, there's a tidal wave coming. Sin will absolutely wreck your life. Run from it. Flee from it. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue. Oh, so I'm not just running from something, I'm running to something? Yes. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We're not in this race alone. There are other people who have a pure heart also, and they are calling on the Lord. And together, it's one of the wonderful things about being in this community. Together we are pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. He's revisiting what he said earlier in the chapter. Don't have anything to do with that stuff. Because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. And those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. What should be our attitude toward people who are in error? We should want to see them come to the truth. We should desire their repentance. That's the goal, the hope that God will grant them repentance. God's the one who has to change their heart. He's the one who has to grant them repentance. But that should be our desire for them, not that person's a false teacher. I just want to see God zap them. That's the way I feel sometimes. My heart needs to be hoping that God will grant them repentance. That's where it needs to be. Who says so? Paul, not just Paul. This is the Word of God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.